tap it to joy.
That's my lunch.
Enjoy. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. Pathways to Joy, we were on a topic of changing depression and anguish to joy. That was yesterday. And we said the further away you are, the happier you have to be. With every mitzvah, every good point, you say, wow, how did it get to me to be in such a place? Rav Nosson explains that this is tachanun. We cast ourselves down. So that is changing the anguish to joy. Throw ourselves down and say, I see where I am. I see my negative, and I'm still going to be happy. I'm still going to look at the positive. Rav Nosson said, that's your average Joe's tachanun. He said, the tzaddik's tachanun is a little different. He casts self down to be able to pick us up. He says, so therefore, for example, Sorimeno, our mother Sora, was taken to Paro's house in Mitzrayim. So it was only because she came before us that we got out of Egypt. We only got a Egypt because Sarah was taken by Paro and she was in control of the situation. He couldn't go near her at all. And they had terrible judgments. That broke Egypt's ability to really hold us for good. That's what Rav Nosson says. That's what the tzaddik does. He casts himself down and he's able to pick up our sparks. But again, generally speaking, it's not what we're not on the level of exactly. That's not what we are usually. Every good thing, every holy thing leaves an eternal trace. It stays forever. You just hold on to it forever and ever. Every good thing, like the Reed teaches. So it's all good, it's all the way it should be, but we're not doing exactly what the tzaddik is. We're just catching ourselves down. We're realizing that means I take the anguish, I grab the strips, and I dance also with this. I don't care about the minus. I'm going to dance and say, on the contrary, I'm so happy for all the good, even with my minus. How do I get all this good? Now, Rav Nosson takes that. And he says, this element is the next pathway to joy, which is, that's how you make music. He says, music, what is music? Music is, what I do when I make music, I need spaces. You can't just have one note or a few notes. It's not going to sound like anything appealing or interesting. It's not going to be helpful. You have to have stop and go and stop and go and get the right keys. And the same thing with our lives. We're always creating this beautiful orchestra for Hashem by the good things we do. Set on the background of the things we need to fix. And how do we manage to do this? And how do we manage to do it? That's an amazing thing. We have to really appreciate it. So that is what music is. Music picks a person up in a very special way, a special level. I can be depressed or not. I can be down. So you start to sing, and suddenly you change the depression to joy. You're okay. What happened? Hear some music. You're okay. What happened? So what happened was I got to that joy within me by somehow connecting. That's what music does. He says, even if you have a bad voice, so go somewhere private and sing. So singing can help you out. There's so much on this.
Are you saying that our movement through time and space is creating a tune?
Yes, definitely.
That Hashem can hear.
Definitely, definitely. Not only that, every thought creates a tune.
Every thought
is part of it too. Every thought is part of it too, and it's it makes it, even if the reaction, the slightest reaction in the world, or it's the person can't even measure it maybe. But there is a reaction, a little something, and that's doing something. And there are many levels and many layers, and I need to focus on making a good tune for Hashem and not who knows what. And that's my job. So, in terms of music, we have to know a few things. First of all, because it's so potent, as Ravolbi points out, he says, you know, there are posting, there are codifiers who say that one should not listen to music at all, because we don't have a basic ministry. We're missing the holy temple. We're missing the connection when there is a holy temple. So there are many poskim who say one should not listen to music. And we see our generation, we're so weak, we need the music. Now, Ravolbi when someone said to him, should I feel a little conflicted whether I should listen to music or not. Because, I mean, how can I listen to music if you're not allowed to listen to the Beis HaMikdash is missing? So Rav Ovadia said, your question is irrelevant to the Beis HaMikdash. You, from your own description, have trouble with depression and you're struggling. And music makes you happy. So it's not a question of you're balanced and you're healthy, and then do I listen to music and don't I? Well, it's better not to. That's not what it's about. You need the music to pick you up. And it's the same thing with non-Jewish music or music that maybe not the most holy source. It's certainly better to avoid it if possible, but you can't judge someone and say, you're listening to this music, you're no good. Maybe I need this music. I mean, it's the same idea. I need this music. Well, it reminds me of my youth, it reminds me of good times. And maybe it wasn't the best vehicle, but that doesn't mean that it's automatically absolutely prohibited for me to listen to it if that's what's going to make me happy.
So it's okay for the Rolling Stones to come to the Shabbos.
Is it Shabbos or Shabbos?
Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos.
Yeah. Well, if you go after Yom Tov or you walk, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm not saying it's okay or not okay if the files or doesn't. I'm not saying. I'm just saying a person in his own home who that's what he needs. I can't condemn him and say you're doing a sin. I don't know if I'm doing a sin or not. Yes, is it not good? There is certain things that are not so great. It evokes certain feelings within me, which is maybe not the greatest. But because for me it makes me happy, it makes me happy. That's what I need now. I can't, like, say, no, definitely not. It's usher, checkmate. Not necessarily. Depends on the person. We can't judge the person. He's got to figure it out on his own or with guidance to work out what's up. Do I need this or don't I need this?
I have teenage daughters. What do I do?
Forbid all music and any technology. Okay. It depends on them. It really depends on them. Sometimes you try to give, let's say, gentle guidance, let's call it, and like, Dad, I love you so much, but you're such a jerk when it comes to X, Y, and Z, and I can't stand it. I mean, even if they don't say that, it's not a good place to be. So the question is, what to do? What do we do about it? What do we do? How do I balance and work out? What's right and what's wrong? And again, this has a lot to do with it. Setting an example is a big one, and trying to find a way to express good and bad without it being too heavy, light, not heavy. And sometimes I have to work out what are my issues. I mean, sometimes a person's issue with a child is just, I don't want to damage worse. Like sometimes I just speak with someone that's like, when he gets over this phase, you don't have to say, yeah, but I hate Judaism because my father just kept shoving on. Like, that's not good for it. That he's going to fix the phase. So sometimes you're like, you know, you're working on, it's like, it's a non-issue. It's like, well, girls, if you're on Facebook, like, forget about, don't worry about music. Let's, what are you doing? Like, you have to, I don't, you know, you have to know what's going on. Like, you have to, you know, I know, it can be really, you know, how do you know your teenage son or daughter, today's day and age, maybe it's like just checking out the Facebook page. It just, you're interested in what? You what? Are you joking? No, yeah. Oh, I could totally. Don't worry about music. That's the last thing you worry. You have to work out the priorities of what's really important and what's not important. And what's the best thing? What does Hashem want me to do to help this child develop and grow into a spiritual person? Like, how am I supposed to do that? What do I do? That's a big question. And that's, every person is needs his or her own way of receiving what they need to receive. And one person needs encouragement, another person needs to be, what do you mean, hey, what is this, what's going on? Maybe that's the best way. You have to know how do I have to learn off the child and figure out what goes on with them. I mean, you speak to a lot of parents, and I feel something's up with this child. We never talk. I feel this child is not slipping. Okay, so what's he or she like? What are their interests? I don't know. I mean, that's not good. It's really not good. Like, you have to know. You have to know, and you have to have forward connection. Part of it's what you're interested in. It's not like, what are you, just a boy or a dad. And like, that's not, you gotta know. You gotta be able to talk to the child and be able to, like, when your child has a crisis or something bothering them, they should turn to you because they want to. They want good advice. Not for any manipulation, not for any advantage, just because, hey, this is my father, this is my mother. They're the best person to talk to when I'm having a hard time. That means not be judgmental. And figuring out how do I strengthen our connection. It's a lot of unconditional love. A lot of unconditional love. Whatever you are, wherever you are, I always love you. I don't care. I have my own, we have a standard in our house. Just, we keep the golden Jewish law, but like, other than that, like, it's not my thing. Not my, it's Hashem, like, there's a higher authority. It's nothing with me. It's my preference. I don't say, well, do this, or don't do this, or do that. I don't say, well, don't wear this and that, because if it's not, I think there's a problem. If you need it, I don't know. We have to work it out, to think, and we'll find a way. Like, it's to be done in a way that's going to be not threatening and not judgmental. Not for me. It's not for me. It's because what's the figure? And so again, we have something you have to have the intelligence to know. Person has to have the understand the wisdom to know. Hey, this is just not a problem here. There are other problems. The first thing is knowing what's really very damaging, and then move on to the next thing if you can, as you can. I mean, I knew someone from a religious home, and he had a serious problem with his teenage daughter. She was listening to radio. Now, radio, you say, big deal. What could be bad with radio? For this person, it was very, very damaging, and she figured it out herself, too, because it introduced her to all sorts of ideas that weren't so good for her. And she's like, I really don't have even the background to deal with this. It's not, I'm not from a secular place. I don't really get this. Religious family. I said family. So, this person, this girl, she had a rebbe that she was very close to. The Rebbe told the parent, she said, I'm telling you, you have to like take it away and be strong. You just, that's it. This is no good for you. You know it. You have to stop it. And he spoke to me. I said, no way. Because you don't know the repercussions of what you do. If you do that, you can lose her on a lot of other levels that you're struggling with. She's okay, but she has her temptations. She's overcoming them. You can't take it. You can dive it. Make it clear to her you're not happy about it in a way that she's not going to be overbearing, and then give it time. And eventually, she dropped it. But it was not, it was a big, big, not always is it a good idea to break something. As the Talmud says, the breaking of someone who's older and understands is building. And the building of someone who's younger and inexperienced can be breaking. I have to figure out, what do I do? How do I do? What's positive? What's not positive? It's for every person to work out for themselves. I'm just saying something that's I still remember as an immature student, I was with a very great teacher, and he was listening to classical music. And we had done a shiur about not listening to secular music, and included prisoner with classical. I was like, I didn't say anything. I paid his rabbi. I was like, I don't understand. Maybe he has a headache. He has no choice. But later I got a little more understanding. Like, no, not necessarily. He wasn't the only person I heard. He was a very big rabbi. I'm like, okay, that's what he needs to do. And the answer is no, I don't actually listen to secular music. I'm just kidding. I don't though, Baruch Hashem. But I'm just saying that I've ran into people. I'm just trying to give over my experience. I'm not trying to give excuses, Baruch Hashem. It's not, it happens to be not my thing. But it's not any big greatness. Just the way it is. I never was too drawn to it, Baruch Hashem. But as one friend says, it's only because you just never experienced it. It might be true, and that's okay. I don't mind. So that's basically that's the opinion of. This is an important thing for our music already. You have to know where and what. It's an important thing. So, music, the Kuvrin, Rav Moshe Mikuvrin says, in Yiddish we say, chazen, the word chazen, ches zayin nun, is an acronym. Chazonin, cantors, zainin, they are, naharonin, fools. What do cantors do to deserve this very kind?
Rosh Hashanah is for chazanim?
Chazan. Chazanin, zainin, na'aronin. Chazanin are fools. So the Kuvrin, he says, listen, when you're inspired by music, when you're uplifted by music, so you go to a place that's called Hechla Negina. This is the palace of song, of Nigin. So right next to that palace is a place that's called Hechla HaTshuva. If you don't bother making the effort to move a little more and go into a place of Tshuva, you're a fool. I tell you, just this poem, just for my voice, like, this is foolish. That's very, very foolish. But when it comes down to it, I have an aspect, I have a bechina, I have an inyan of, I have an opportunity when I have music. Whenever the music is, I have to use it properly. I have to use it properly. Even a person who's listening to secular music, and, you know, meet people like all the time who have this, especially if it was in their past, however it worked out, the way it speaks to them, however it speaks to them, each person has to make a vetting process of what is helpful to me and what drags me down. And what's helpful to you, there is definitely, again, space to be lenient if you need it now. But what's not helpful to you is much harder to say it's okay. Sometimes maybe you need it anyway, but if you see it's dragging you down, it's not so good, so it's not so great. As time goes on, it seems like the lyrics are more and more not so good. Like, I don't know what it is, but somehow it's like get less and less, it's more and more sensational, less and less helpful very often. So now, that's the ending of what music is. So music is the highest expression of changing the despair and anguish to joy. That's the highest expression. That's what music is. And that's the power of music. If I use music properly, I can go to incredible heights. In terms of secular music, it's important one more thing to say, which is that if you're listening to so-called kosher rock, I mean, like, the differences are not as much as you might want to think. You might like to say. They're so different. It's not secular. It's not really true. The minute the influence is secular and making the type of music and the way it's done, if you were to play it, you wouldn't tell, is it this rock or is it Jewish rock? So then the differences are very, very not clear. Like, why is this better than that? Is it really better? It's not so clear at all.
What do you say, kosher rock?
Yeah, they have Jewish rock music. So, again, a lot of people will listen to that. At least there's, like, good words, let's say, verses or something from our sages. But when I can tell you from the other side, when you meet people who say, well, I don't listen to secular music, but you do. Not that I'm saying it's not better necessarily. I'm just saying that when you're listening to music something that's so sacred, so pop, it's so, you know, you wouldn't tell the difference. So then, you know, it's very hard to work out. So then what, especially if it's the same tune as some song, so what is different? Why is my schlock rock any better than your regular rock? I mean, like, it's the same difference. If I really like schlock rock, so you say, well, I could say, well, I don't listen to sacred music. But it's almost the same. Like, it's very hard to defend the difference. You know, there are many poskim who say, there is no difference. Like, there really is no difference. So it's not, you know, so it depends. You have to be careful that you can't make this... you can't make a make-believe divide. It might be worthwhile to have a divide. You have to know where you're holding and what you need and what you don't need. And be happy with it. That's what Revolvi tells this person. He says, you know, when you're holding, by being healthy, then you'll worry about, am I on a level or am I not on a level of not listening to music at all, because it's better not to. And rest of we hardly pay attention to this because we are so desperate. We need so much to be joyous. Music is such a great way of doing it. So, very much, it's very not. Again, there is a head to permitted for whatever, however, why ever. So we rely on that because of the power of music to really provoke joy.
So, search for joy can cause desperation. You could like try to latch on to stuff because you want to have joy.
It's true. No, it's true. You're definitely right. That's why I said it's not something that I can tell someone. I can't say, well, Rolling Stones, never. No. They're no good. Mozart is okay. I don't have a right to say that. But it might be true for someone. I don't know. The content is
its own. I'm just talking about in general.
I understand. No, in general, yeah, you definitely, if I'm trying to find ways to make me happy, there's something called an exotic. It's called a strange fire. And now is that sometimes I'm going to go and I'm going to be, I'm going to go to disco, let's say. I'm going to dance. I'm going to love it, right? It's going to be wonderful. But that's not like kosher joy. Like, it's just not. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't pretend it is. It's a kosher joy could even be a physical thing, but it's with a purpose to give joy that's holy and good, not joy that's deficient. Like you just said, I need the joy so I can, you know, I can do whatever in the world. Like, I'm going to go have my beer, and who knows what he's going to do? Like, where's the joy? And by the way, he doesn't come out so joyous anyway. That's a different point. But besides that, he thinks he's joyous. He thinks, and it's not true. He's just in the nonsense land of, he's a slave. He's just putting it this way and that way. But really,
well, like dancing on Sukkot.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, Purim or Holomoid. Or any time, you know, when you're having a big gathering or a wedding.
That's very powerful and good. But dancing that's not good is not good. The Rebbe says actually another Nevi'o. Another Nevi'o brought up strange fire. So you need to, he said sometimes you learn how to be happy in just physical things. This is a different pathway, but bottom line, said, even you enjoy your meals. Ah, this is such a good food. This is such a good, he said, but it's with a purpose to be happy in Hashem. Not just separate. Like, I want to be happy, so we're going to grow a lot of wine. We'll grow a lot of, right, like in the story. I'll make a cognac, I'll make brandy, I'll make all the best alcohol. That's going to make me happy. But there's no reason. Rebbe said, they're not really happy because there's no reason. Why are you happy? L'chaim, I don't know. I'm going to do it. I'm not really happiness. That's not really. So you're right. Of course, the desperation, that's been a big part of the slavery. A big part of the slavery is because I feel like I'm in despair. I give up. I don't realize what I can get out. Like, it's over. We gave up. We're like, Hashem, I'm going to take us out. That was a big problem. Oh, come on. How are they going to take us out? That was what brought on them. Like, they didn't really believe. It got worse. It got harder. It got a little easier, but it was the desperation. Most people stayed in Egypt because they just couldn't believe that Hashem cares enough to take me out. I don't deserve it, which is undeniably true. So why would he take me out? So what do you mean I'm supposed to take this seriously? I have to take it seriously. What are with all these plagues? I don't know. There are lots of strange things happen that can't be that Hashem would take me out. It's an unbelievable thing. So I have to really change very, very much in my attitude. Like, I can get out. I don't have to be desperate. I just have to look at Hashem.
I'm not worthy to accept joy.
Exactly. That's how I feel. It's the opposite. The opposite. No one is worthy to accept joy. So the people who are joyous just are asking for a free gift from Hashem. And they say, you know, I'm going to try my best. I have a purpose here, and I have to do my purpose. As Rabbi Nachman said, don't let your smallness occlude your greatness. I have smallness, but greatness is greatness. I'm a son of Hashem, and I'm here for a reason, and I have a mission which only I can do, and I can do it. Because Hashem's helping me, yes, I can't do anything. That's true. But nevertheless, like, I'm going to do it. Like, I can't. He said, the other way, too. Don't let the greatness make you forget your smallness. You got to work on the smallness, but you need to. Don't be in a place where I can't. I'm immobilized. I'm dead. I'm done. Why? No matter what, Rabbi Nachman said, I would never sin. He said, but if I sinned, I wouldn't do anything different. I'd act as if nothing happened, and then do tshuva. I wouldn't be confused, desperate. I fell. See, okay. Well, so what? I mean, God forbid, I want to change. I need tshuva. I need to fix that. But I'm serious about it. But I'm going to let it be depressed now. No way. No chance. That's not we have to know. Never in the world, for any reason, am I going to be depressed. No way. Forget about it. And if I am, I'm going to go right out. Out. No interest. Take some pathway. I'm leaving. Goodbye. I'm not. This is not for me. No. Depression is tumis, the worst defilement in the world. Worse than anything. You don't even realize it. Anything. You can't think of anything that's worse than depression. Worse than anything. It's unbelievable because it causes all the worst things. Somebody that dies from depression.
Suicide.
Yeah, suicide or just doesn't care anymore. Just doesn't care. Doesn't take care of his health. I don't care. Why do I care? You're here for a reason. Hashem sent you here for a reason. Grab home. Do what you're supposed to do. To make whatever effort I can. So that's part of music. The idea of music is this idea that there is something that's above. Something above. There's something I'm here for, like, you know, I guess... How do I explain what music is? He says there's 10 types of song. We don't have time too much to explore it enough today, but there's 10 types of song, Rabbi Nachman says. And this is Tikkun HaKol. He says, song has the power, if you know how to use it right, to remove an arrow that's hurting with venom. You can get rid of it and heal. The tzaddik, who knows how to use it right, he can heal a person. And we all have these arrows we had shot in us, maybe as a child, or different traumas, or different whatever they may be. And I want to take these arrows out. How do I do that? So it's a muna, and simcha, all these good things. But song is the way of doing it. I'm trying to find the special type of song, and I'm able to be healed completely. I'm able to turn the despair and anguish to joy, and be happy because, on the contrary, I'll be happy. And it's the opposite than what we would think, because the more arrows you have, the higher your neshama is. We say, no. If I'm desperate and I feel small, I have another person who's, he just doesn't have his issues. Like, he's okay. So my soul is higher than his. It's the opposite of what we think. So what do you mean? He's okay, pretty balanced, pretty easy going. And here I am like, fighting for my life. Look, help, but I did. I can't, like, anything. Whatever I try, it doesn't work. I'm fighting. God, I'm killing myself. I can't get anywhere. This guy, everything's okay. He's just part of it. He's a part of his part. He can't do much either. To really work hard. I'm gonna do it. I'm going to get there. I'm going to sing a song to Hashem. I'm singing a song to Hashem. My song is a higher song than his song, but it's harder to produce the song. We have to work to produce the song. It should be more and more musical, more and more beautiful. And I want to change this anguish to joy on a much higher level. And that's the power of music. I can change the anguish to joy on a totally different level, on a totally different plane. I can bring myself to be a totally different plane. That's the power of music. I think that's today, Bez Hashem. Although this is another one, I think, at least. This isn't, that's what a shofar is. And that's what this is. He doesn't say, whatever. So what is a shofar? What are you trying to do? You cry to Hashem. It's also part of it.
Scheinberg, that's Pichas Chaim Scheinberg, that's how he gave a heta to depressed people during the 9 days to hear like symphony music, classical music. Upbeat music, that's also something. Classical music is not like
it's complicated. It's true. I'm not going to say it's true. There is such a thing for someone who's really depressed. Poor guy. We'll continue to. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow we'll see if we have time or on the way. But like, we want to. The next thing he talks about is what does the way I make music? How does it show? What does it mean that I'm changing the depression and anguish to joy? And how do I do it? That's his next. Called Emuna. He's like, what does it mean? How does it mean? That's his own. Maybe tomorrow, I guess.